listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Well, we've got a lot to get to. In fact, coming up, we'll cover technology. We'll cover the governor's race in the state of New Jersey. We'll get some reaction from Carol Markowitz of the New York Post on Amazon and what they're up to these days. But first, what on earth did John Kerry tell Iran to sacrifice and compromise our ally Israel? Tony Schaefer is with us. Stay here.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Madam President, I rise today on the Senate floor to call for the resignation of John Kerry as a member of the Biden administration's National Security Council.
That's Dan Sullivan, a senator from Alaska, that was bringing that into the Senate chamber today. Kevin McCullough, welcoming you into a busy Tuesday. There's lots to get to, but none more, I think, shocking than the revelations in the last 24 hours that John Kerry has sold out not only his country, but our closest ally. How he did that, what he was doing, does it even seem conceivable that he could do such a thing? Talk to most people, they'll tell you yes. Why and what does he hope to gain from it? Let's get some insight on this from the London Center for Policy Research, the president there, Tony Schaefer, who we had already scheduled to chat about other foreign policy things today regarding Biden's first 100 days. But Colonel, this headline is pretty harsh in its kind of unrepentant realization that we have someone who's working in our national security arena who evidently doesn't feel like it's important to follow our own national security protocols and maybe sometimes sell out our closest allies. What happened and what's your take on it?
So, yeah, thanks for having me, Kevin. And things first, always look at an individual's personal history to understand better their current actions. And John Kerry, if you look at who he is, this is within his character. And, you know, he's basically gone against U.S. foreign policy anytime he believed that a political narrative was more important to follow. This goes from his time in Vietnam to the present. So that's just the first thing. Always consider the source. Secondly, because of who he is, I believe he sold out the Israelis to gain what he believed to be benefit and leverage with Iran. Remember, he and Obama, President Obama, have been completely tied to this joint agreed-upon framework regarding the Iranian nuclear program. So in the interest of trying to essentially now, he's been working to reestablish that legacy, I have no doubt back when he was Secretary of State under President Obama, that he would have given up this information for purposes of trying to say, see, aren't we great? We're trying to help you, Iran. You need to join this agreement. It's appeasement. It's another form of appeasement. He had a record of appeasement. And I'm sorry, Kevin, this fits in with every other piece of appeasement we saw during that time when Kerry was pushing this for Obama. So this, to me, indicates that we must insist on an investigation of this because it was clearly something he did to undermine U.S. Foreign policy and resulted in failures of one of our key allies in their efforts to make sure Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon.
Now, you said before we went on the air that there were two different acts that he likely violated. Explain what they are briefly and how he did that.
So after the fact, the Logan Act is something he has clearly violated over the past 4 years, going on five, before he became part of the administration. The Logan Act is something they were very happy to go after Mike Flynn on. And the idea is, unless you're a member of an official government, if you're not a member of the federal government under the executive branch, theoretically, you're not supposed to be practicing national security. The Logan Act has never been used to prosecute anybody. But with that said, they did contemplate using it to go after Mike Flynn. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden, as Vice President Biden, actually said that trying to get the FBI to go after Mike Flynn in January of 2017. So that's on the record. What he has apparently violated are elements of the Espionage Act. That is to say, and this is something under Title 18, I recommend your audience go out and check. If you are given classified information, even if it's from a foreign nation, that becomes something that you as a U.S. official are obligated to protect. We cannot be giving up secrets of Germany because we don't like something Germany's doing because they're a NATO ally. We can't be arbitrarily giving up classified information simply because you disagree with the source. That's what the appearance is here, that John Kerry violated the Espionage Act by actually taking this information, which was classified within our system, even though it's from a third source, and giving it to a country which has been identified as an adversary. The Iranians have been an adversary for decades, Kevin. So those are the two big areas that I think that clearly there are grounds to go after him on based on his observed actions. And John Kerry's denial, I don't buy at all. And again, I think we would all agree, we all need to investigate to find out what the truth is at this point.
Yeah, well, and so two things to that point. As you said, it's within his character. There's no one that sees this story today that goes, well, that doesn't sound like John Kerry. No, everybody that sees it goes, you know, that sounds exactly like who he is. But the second part of this, and this is really the slippery slope, if we don't address this, we are going to cease to have the confidence of our allies. And when you're talking about the Middle East, we can't depend on an ally more closely than we do with Israel. And in many ways, we've been burdensome to them being able to take care of their own self-reliance. This is going to make them question if they can really fully count on the USA, particularly if a certain party is in power, et cetera, because of the kind of lack of decorum that they feel like they are dealt with. And nobody could blame them for that at the end of the day.
So to build on that point, absolutely, Kevin. Look, the Saudis have found that the Israelis are a better, more dependable ally at this point. Now, think about that. Saudi Arabia, an Arab country which swore at one point to destroy the Israeli state, more in line and dependent on a political and military process as an ally with the Israelis than they are with us. Think about that. I mean, this is unheard of. And it's because of the very issue with John Kerry and others who have basically said, yeah, we don't care about our alliances. We don't care about commitments. We're after this nuclear deal with Iran, even though it's not going to work. It's all about prestige and virtue signaling at the international level. That's why they're so committed to this. Allies all see it, and it's very dangerous.
Tony,
what? Our own laws, we need to do something, you know, we're going to lose it.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer of the London Center for Policy Research. Why does John Kerry and Barack Obama, why do the Joe Bidens and Susan Rices have such a commitment to Iran? They are a hostile state. They fund major amounts of terrorism around the world. They do not allow democracy or self-determination of their own people. What do we see in them that makes us need an alliance with them from the perspective of these people that are pushing this? Because I think much of the rest of the world would prefer Iran not to have a nuclear capability.
This goes back, believe it or not, to the Carter administration. Zbigniew Brzezinski proposed before all of this started that we needed to take on the Persians as our key proxy and ally within the region. And so this is, by the way, post the fall of the Iran our embassy in Iran. There was a belief that somehow we should side with the Shia versus the Sunni. The Sunni, essentially the Arabs, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, those have been our preferred proxy or alliance in the Middle East. And by the way, they have grown to become very close to the Israelis. The Obama administration has been bent on trying to make a deal and be cozy with the Iranians for the past 10 years. And there's absolutely no rational reason to do it.
I don't get it.
I believe. So.
Yeah, it's just it's so dangerous to us. Well, Tony, thank you for doing the good work that you're doing. Follow him on Twitter at T-Spooky. You have to look it up, or you can search his name, Tony Schaefer. He's there. And the website is londoncenter.org to get more information about the great work of the late, great Herb London and his research team. Tony, always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
The world has changed a lot over this past year. If you are turning 65 or currently on Medicare, Assurance can help you get confidence in knowing you have the healthcare coverage you need. Chat with a licensed insurance agent for a free, no-obligation Medicare Advantage Plan consultation with Assurance at 1-833-381-1505. That's 1-833-381-1505 or assurance.com/radio. Together, Assurance can help recommend a Medicare Advantage Plan that's right for you.
If you'd like a smartphone that's really smart, download the OnePlace.com app. The app that will inspire your faith daily and provide answers to the biggest questions of all. OnePlace lets you download your favorite pastor's programs and listen, even offline or in airplane mode, with easy connections to your Bluetooth speaker or dashboard. To download your free OnePlace app, visit the iTunes App Store or the Google Play Store for your Android device and search for OnePlace. That's OnePlace.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Yosafat Ministries invites all COVID patients to an online healing prayer service through Zoom every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. with Reverend Dr. Yosafat. This prayer service is free with no offerings. To join Yosafat Ministries in this Zoom prayer meeting for COVID patients only, use ID 364-469-5055. You can find Yosafat Ministries on Facebook at OHPS COVID. That's OHPS COVID on Facebook. Once again, Yosafat Ministries is inviting all COVID patients to an online healing prayer service through Zoom every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. with Reverend Dr. Yosafat. This prayer service is free with no offerings. To join Yosafat Ministries in this Zoom prayer meeting for COVID patients only, use ID 364-469-5055. You can find Yosafat Ministries on Facebook at OHPS COVID. That's OHPS COVID. Together, let's pray.
Hi, this is Kevin Cottrell. When you walk into Samson Funeral Service, you feel the comfort in the air. Samson Funeral Service is different than any other funeral home.
Hello, WMCA listeners. I'm Ernest A. Samson III. The loss of a loved one can leave you with lots of unanswered questions, feelings of stress and anxiety and grief. We will guide you through the funeral process with compassion, dignity, and respect. You can call on us any day, any time. We will take care of you every step of the way, from funeral arrangements to the service and to grief counseling referrals if needed. It is my commitment to reassure you in your time of need that we are more than a funeral home. We are hope and help for you.
Samson Funeral Service is located in Brooklyn at 2601 Pitkin Avenue. Call 718-277-8000 to make arrangements. That's 718-277-8000. Samson Funeral, where the legacy continues.
There are books that I've wanted to write. Fault Lines was a book I felt like I had to write. Critical race theory, social justice, intersectionality. We've all heard these terms, but most of us have no idea what they mean. The Apostle Paul says that we destroy arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. Fault Lines is about doing just that in this current cultural moment. As Christians, we need to know what's going on around us. We have to be a part of culture. Fault Lines is about not only understanding what's going on in the culture around us and how it's impacting us, but it's also about teaching us to take every thought captive so that we can be more proactive in creating culture as God would intend us to. This is Vodi Bakum, and I want to encourage you to buy my new book, Fault Lines, available everywhere books are sold.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Kevin McCullough says she's the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite, the amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. I'm still a little bit reeling from my discussion there with Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer, because it's one thing for our highest level of the administration to make mistakes. It's another thing to flat out aid our enemy in treasonous action against our closest ally. And I don't know how we deal with this going forward. Let's get a little bit more perspective on this. Carol Markowitz writes for the New York Post. She writes about a wide spectrum of issues, and we're going to talk about something that she wrote about this week in the Post that I think is very important. But Carol, before we move to that, talk to me about your reaction to news that this now leaked tape seems to indicate that despite his protestations, former Secretary of State John Lurch Kerry has, in fact, been giving up Israeli secrets to the Iranians.
Yeah. You know, I it's so not surprising. I don't know. I feel like I remember the 2004 presidential campaign very clearly. And he is this guy. He's this guy that does stuff like this. Runs his mouth. He absolutely is always trying to seem like he has.
That's what makes it so believable, right? Because
exactly,
he has a long
right.
history of doing exactly what we're accusing him of doing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. There's not one person who heard the story and said, oh, that doesn't sound like John Kerry. It sounds like John Kerry because he's had behavior like that in the past. Absolutely.
What's his thing with Iran? Why is he so tight with them? I know that when they were doing the Iran deal, he was committed. Like, it didn't matter if he was going to have to give the kitchen store away.
Yeah.
He was going to give them what they wanted. And they're bad actors, Carol. We cannot trust them.
Right. No, of course. You know, I really do think it's a realignment of allies in the Middle East. And I think people on the left want us to move away from Israel as our key ally there. And Iran seems like a possible alternative. They're pretty powerful and they have reach. And I think that that is why they want us to head in the Iranian direction. And it's really kind of sickening to think that we're abandoning, you know, the only democracy, the only real democracy in the Middle East for this, you know, kind of regime in Iran that openly hates us only because just because we want to, you know, hurt Israel.
It's very bizarre. And, you know, they are the friends of other powerful countries that we have issues with. They're friends to China. They're friends to Russia. It's not like, you know, even if it was just one on one, that it would be a great relationship from our perspective. But I don't comprehend. And you know what? There used to be a time when Democrats and Republicans could look at a foreign power and say unilaterally, they're good or bad. We shouldn't be doing business with them. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
Yeah, we've completely lost it in that way. I think like China is a great example of that. I think we used to be able to see pretty clearly that China wouldn't be our friend. But the way that the left behaves right now, it's, you know, China should absolutely be America's best friend. Why not? And, you know, you have like the NBA players criticizing American policy, but never, ever saying a word about Chinese policy because they, you know, don't want to lose that market. And so I think a lot of it really does come back to money, and to who is profiting from these relationships.
Yeah, but in Iran, that we don't, I just don't understand it because we don't gain anything. They want to use a massive power to hurt a lot of innocent people. And that used to be something that America stood up to and said, no, we're not going to be party to that. It doesn't make sense to me. But so what do you think is going to happen? I mean, there's obviously a lot of people on Capitol Hill calling for Secretary Kerry's resignation. Do you foresee enough pressure being able to be swayed to leverage that?
I don't know. I think the example that other Democrats have shown in the last few years is just keep your head down and don't resign and it'll go away.
The Governor Cuomo routine.
Right, absolutely. Also the Governor of Virginia who did blackface and, you know, and others as well. And just don't resign and keep your head down. So I sort of see him heading in that direction. This will be a test for the Biden administration. They haven't passed that many of these, so we'll see. Last week I called for the UN our UN representative to be fired because she pretty openly dislikes America, talks badly about us on the world stage when she should be our, you know, cheerleader. And the Biden administration shot back saying, like, they would never fire her. That's ridiculous, you know? So this doesn't seem that different.
One step at a time. All right. Hey, let's move to your column. You wrote about, well, I love the title, Let's Break Our Amazon Addiction and Start Saving Local Small Businesses. It's interesting. You write this article the week that Amazon's about to report its earnings in the first quarter. What's your ultimate goal here, Lady Markowitz?
Well, I was an Amazon addict. I admit I bought everything on Amazon. I didn't even think about it. I just completely, like, click, click, it arrives at my door, and that's it. And I'm not saying I'm going to get to $0 with Amazon. There's still stuff that I will maybe continue to buy occasionally on Amazon, things that are maybe hard to find in my local stores. But we have to look at what kind of society we want. And Amazon has become scary with their power and their reach. You know, they pulled a transgender book by Ryan Anderson. And, you know, I generally probably am not on the same side as Ryan Anderson about transgenderism. We sort of do have a little bit of a gulf between us. But I don't care. That doesn't matter. It has to be you have to stand up for them pulling books that they find controversial. Otherwise, conservatives are just going to be in their crosshairs, and we already are.
Yeah.
Publishers are taking notice that Amazon pulled conservative books. And they're going to be just watering down the titles that are coming out, lest they, you know, write something controversial.
Well, and, you know, that's that's already been seen by The New York Times for years. They've stopped reporting the sales of books that they deem inappropriate. And now Amazon, which is another way of tracking book sales largely across the country, seems to be getting into the same game. It's really turned into the woke states of America, Carol. And, you know, there's going to be a coming crisis between those that have a real conscience and backbone and those that don't. And we're starting to see the dividing line pretty clearly.
Yeah, well, step one is let's not shop on Amazon. Let's not give them even more power and more money. And it's a little bit harder to do, but I feel really good about shopping local and, you know, saving my community and bringing back businesses to our main streets. And I think other people should do it too.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Even a lot of those small businesses now are doing e-commerce. So even if you want the convenience, there's still ways to go about that. And, you know, who knows? Maybe every company is going to get compromised at some point. But Etsy is a great alternative if you're looking for, you know, good stuff, but you want to help small businesses. Anyway, Carol, always appreciate it. Thank you for your insight today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Go read her latest, Let's Break Our Amazon Addiction and Start Saving Local Small Businesses. Love that. I also love her very much needed clarity on Iran and John Kerry. Friends, what's going on? Anyway, we will continue. Kevin McCullough, don't go anywhere. We visit the Garden State to talk the governor's race next.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month.
I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar, and we'd love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We are United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Ryan Vrak, Animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Do you remember Superstorm Sandy? How could you not remember the sheer panic that we experienced as a major hurricane bore down on the tri-state area? Well, imagine having another one hit only 13 days later. That's what the children of Central America have experienced within the last few months. And because of the great damage that was done to this region of the world, as food that was already largely insecure has become almost impossible to find. It's one of the reasons why we have joined with Food for the Poor to help feed hungry children in Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, and other parts of the Caribbean and Central and South America, because they need our help. In fact, there are 703 children on this waiting list, and your gift of $37 will provide one of them food for the next 6 months. Would you call right now? 855-907-4673 or go online to WMCA.com.
When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
By refusing to open our schools, Governor Murphy is failing our kids. New Jersey, we can do better. When I'm governor, we will.
That's Jack for governor, Jack for NJ, if you're following him on Twitter. Jack Cittarelli is his name, and he is back with us here at Kevin McCullough Radio. Jack, good to talk to you. Always appreciate the time that you spare for us. You've got a lot of campaign themes out now. Your most recent one is a plea for the state of New Jersey, specifically the governor, to open the schools. Look, school and school openings have been an eternal frustration in the pandemic era. And it seems like that, like much of the rest of the handling of the pandemic, Phil Murphy doesn't have as much of an idea of what he really believes as much as he's listening to a constituency and special interests that have his attention, particularly from a campaign finance perspective. What's your take on this, Jack?
Well, Kevin, first of all, thank you for having me on. But the one thing we do know that Phil Murphy believes is being loyal to the NJEA, the New Jersey Education Association, and its union leadership. He has shown no leadership whatsoever on getting schools open again. And you want to talk about frustration? It's reached a boiling point. Take a look around the state. In today's papers, we learned that Trenton Board of Education, which is controlled by Democrats, are suing the teachers to get them back in the classroom. We saw the same thing in Montclair, the same thing in Maplewood and South Jarge. Those are also Democratic towns. So this is not really a partisan issue. This is a lack of leadership by the governor and failing to advocate to get our children back in school, who've now been out of school for more than a year. And if you think that has an effect on your typical student, just imagine what effect that has on a special needs student.
Well, and a special needs student that, by the way, the U.S. government says is mandated, they have to have services provided for them. They're not even funded on the state level, but it's been the state's unwillingness to move forward that has prevented a lot of that care from happening. So, Jack, how do you fix it? What do you begin to do to convince New Jerseyans who have left, by the way, at a pretty rapid rate, that New Jersey can be a place where not only, economies can improve and the quality of life can improve, but that schools are going to open and that our kids are going to be cherished and helped.
Well, Kevin, if there's a reason why schools aren't open, and that reason happens to be the school's air ventilation systems, as an example, we've been out of school now for more than a year. He's still sitting on more than $1 billion in federal CARES Act relief funds, and he's now sitting on a $4 billion surplus. Why isn't he working in partnership with school districts to improve their air ventilation systems so we could, at the very least, guarantee that our kids will be in school this September? Is this not a priority in this state? It's a vicious cycle. And if the kids can't get back to school, their parents can't get back to work. So listen, the data is clear. Remote learning doesn't work. The science is clear. You don't spread the virus amongst school-aged children. And the reality is clear. Parents want their kids back in school. But then again, this governor will continue to worship at the altar of the teachers' union leadership.
It's really sad. And it's having, there's a handful of towns where the constituency has said, no, we're not going to tolerate that. And they've been able to do some good in getting schools open. But if you had the force of the governor behind you, as we the people, it would make such a difference. Jack, let's shift gears a little bit. Economically speaking, New Jersey's in a world of hurt. Phil Murphy's idea has been to raise taxes. Joe Biden's idea is to raise taxes even more. It seems like that on every level, the average business owner and worker in New Jersey is just paying through his eyeballs for services that don't seem to come back and don't seem to help him. How do we begin to solve this problem?
Stop making promises we can't afford. Every time Phil Murphy makes a promise, he then raises taxes or borrows money to afford that promise. If ever there was a time to tighten our belt, this was it. Instead, he went and borrowed $4.5 billion to balance the state budget that we later found out he didn't need to borrow. And even the leading legislative Democrats have said the same thing. As you know, Kevin, I sued the governor to stop the borrowing plan. Our Constitution is very specific. You cannot borrow to balance the state budget. There were a number of ways to balance this budget, just as we did 12 years ago at the height of the Great Recession. We closed a $5 billion budget gap in New Jersey without borrowing a dime or raising taxes a penny. So let's get smart about our government. Let's downsize it. Let's make it more cost efficient. Let's tighten the belt. Let's stop with the borrowing, and let's stop with the raising of the taxes. Think about this now, Kevin. He's been in office a little over 3 years. New Jersey now has the highest corporate tax rate in the nation, the third highest personal income tax bracket in the nation, the highest property taxes in the nation. How do you expect this state to ever be an economic engine where people can achieve their American dreams with being in those positions, in those categories? It ain't going to happen. And so what I'm all about is fixing New Jersey, Kevin.
I just spoke with a candidate for Congress in the 5th District this week and told him I know firsthand of four different business owners that have fairly good-sized companies, anywhere from a couple to several dozen. They've all relocated. They've all left the state. They've all taken their businesses with them to the state of Florida, where they feel like they can get a more fair hearing and a more fair workforce, and it seems to me that this is going to be the trend if Phil Murphy isn't stopped. But that's why Jack Cittarelli is asking for your vote, New Jersey, and that's why you have the chance to decide. If you want something different than what you have now, you have to decide to send different people there, and he's asking for your vote. Two-time business owner, former assemblyman, wants to fix the Garden State and wants to make it the place that everybody wants it to be, not the place that they're having to struggle with right now. And you can follow him on Twitter at Jack4NJ, and that's the website as well, Jack4NJ.com, Jack, the number 4NJ.com. Jack Cittarelli will be speaking to you more in the days to come. Thanks for being here.
Kevin, thank you for having me.
All right, Jack4NJ.com. Kevin McCullough coming right back.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that is found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women. Talcum powder. For decades, studies showed that talcum contained asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product. This May, after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer, talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Buttafuoco & Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Buttafuoco & Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over 800,000 families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With family staying close and Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget.
Plus, Legacy Box is offering a 50% discount.
Order your Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/lbox. And for a limited time, get an incredible 50% off your order. This is one of the best discounts we've offered. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 50% off. legacybox.com/lbox.
Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
There are books that I've wanted to write. Fault Lines was a book I felt like I had to write. Critical race theory, social justice, intersectionality. We've all heard these terms, but most of us have no idea what they mean. The Apostle Paul says that we destroy arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. Fault Lines is about doing just that in this current cultural moment. As Christians, we need to know what's going on around us. We have to be a part of culture. Fault Lines is about not only understanding what's going on in the culture around us and how it's impacting us, but it's also about teaching us to take every thought captive so that we can be more proactive in creating culture as God would intend us to. This is Vodi Bakum, and I want to encourage you to buy my new book, Fault Lines, available everywhere books are sold.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, it's Tuesday, and we like to take a check of what's going on in the technology world. And this week, it's a huge week. If you were listening to my other broadcast, Radio Night Live, on Monday night, you know Hillary Kramer was talking big time about the earnings week that is ahead of us. Tesla, one of the big tech companies that came in on Monday, and they did a little better in their earnings than they had predicted, and they gave some guidance. There's four areas that they're going to watch. They also coughed up a bunch of that Bitcoin that they bought, but they're going to keep some of it, which is all going to work out. But you've still got Amazon, you've got Apple, you've got Microsoft, you've got a bunch of people that basically the four pillars of the S&P 500 that prop everything else up. Most of them still have yet to report. Here to discuss this and other tech related items, Ari Zoldan. And Ari, I guess it's good news that Tesla started off the week well. Some people had been a little concerned that they wouldn't beat the estimates on the street. They did that. What does the rest of the field kind of look like if we're talking Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet, all still yet to come this week?
Sure. Kevin, great to be back as always. Yeah, I mean, just touching on Tesla, I mean, they posted record net income of about $438 million, and its revenue surged by 74%. I mean, those are really, really significant numbers. And if you think about the market cap of Tesla, you know, $684 billion, and it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. There's an argument out there, obviously, whether or not the company is overvalued, but I could tell you that shareholders are very, very happy.
Well, the price fell. I mean, people could actually buy a little bit of a dip on Tesla today because their stock fell about 2%. They beat the estimate. They post all these great numbers. They still lose a couple of percentage points in the stock price. So Ari's saying that's a buying opportunity, and he's my tech guy, so I believe him. What are the rest of the tech titans? Are we going to see any surprises, or do you think they all had more or less pretty solid years?
I think they all had a really, really good run. I mean, everyone's been, you know, the past 12 months, everyone's been sitting home ordering stuff. And I think the market obviously, you know, adjusted for that and predicted that. So I think across the board, you know, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, I think the numbers are going to be really, really good. And I think it's going to, you know, you're obviously only seeing upward trends. No one's stopping to shop online. So the trends are only going up. And if you think about it, I've been, you know, studying the e-com sector for some time. Only 11%, and these are fascinating numbers, only 11% of all retail is due to e-commerce. So you could imagine how much room there is for growth.
Wow, there's an 89% window of upgrowth there. That's crazy. Truly,
yeah, the numbers are astonishing, and the different kind of channels that are opening up. I mean, we're going to see Instagram now really pushing their shopping cart. So wherever you go, whatever platform you're on, I mean, they're going to be selling to you and people will be buying.
Yeah. All right. Let's move to some of the other top headlines this week. CNN reporting that in India, you've got a ton of startups, some of them backed by big dollars. But the headline co-reads, now it's time to be profitable, or now it's time to start earning. What's the story there?
So this is amazing. India, and I've been, Kevin, a bunch of times to India, so I've kind of had the opportunities to be boots on the ground there and see what the startup community is like. But there's a bunch of companies, there's about five startups that made unicorn status. And we know unicorn is any company that has a valuation of over $1 billion. There's about five of them to date. Companies like Tiger Capital and SoftBank are pumping a lot of money into the startup sector over there. If you think of the sheer demographics, I mean, you have over 1 billion people, 700 million internet users, and there's about 500 million more coming on board. So the market there is just tremendous.
Yeah. And despite their COVID concerns right now, because they are in the midst of a really tough whacking by the new variant that's exposed there, it still looks pretty rosy from that perspective in terms of the tech startups. Okay. This story is kind of an odd one, but the BBC reporting that the salmon we may all eat soon will be land grown. What does that mean?
This is amazing. Typically, we know Atlantic salmon being bred in Scotland or Norway. But right in our backyard in Florida, there's actually 5 million Atlantic salmons being bred. And when I say bred, they are being bred on land in massive, massive gallons of water. It's an industry that I would love to start covering with you, Kevin, what they're calling aquaculture. It's basically having the ability to breed animals, specifically fish, on land. And if you think about it, the question is, well, you know, why do that? It's cheaper, it's more efficient, and relatively disease-free when these fish are out in the ocean. They're subject to different type of diseases. Well, if you have the opportunities to be able to breed them on land more efficiently, more economically, it's a sector that's certainly very, very interesting to watch.
Well, what are we talking about in terms of market share? Like how is it going to impact what inventory is available right now?
I mean, I would imagine that it's going to take away a big market share from the, you know, what we know as fishermen today. And I think that they're going to have to start pivoting and figuring out how to grow their own fish on land. But, you know, obviously the fish market is absolutely huge, but this is creating a new economy for people as well. Specifically in Florida, and Florida's being, you know, Florida's certainly the leader in a lot of these growing communities.
Are there other products that aquaculture is turning out besides Florida-based salmon?
There's tuna. You could almost practically grow it. And I'm not a big fish eater. My wife is. But I know you could almost breed any kind of fish today on land. And what's fascinating is that there's technology out there called recirculating agriculture systems, otherwise known as RAS, which basically takes all the variables that there would be in the water, brings it on land, just more enhanced and operating in a closed system, creating a relatively safe and comfortable environment, and certainly a healthy environment for the fish, whereby a byproduct of that obviously is humans ingesting it. So issues of, you know, mercury that people talk about is starting to be, talked about, and seeing if things could be worked out there. And it's an amazing, amazing sector, and I've been looking closely at it.
I'm sure we'll be talking about it more in the days to come. Ari Zoldan, thanks for the technology insights. We appreciate it.
You too. Thank you, Kevin. Have a great day.
You do the same. All right, Kevin McCullough, coming back. My final thought for this Tuesday. Don't go anywhere.
Hey everyone, it's Debbie Biskey from the Bridge Women's Center, and I am super excited for our second annual gala on May 13th at the Meadowood in Randolph, New Jersey. The state of New Jersey is opening up more and more, and we anticipate additional capacity will be opened up as we get closer to the event. Our keynote speaker is Governor Mike Huckabee, a huge pro-life advocate. So join us to celebrate life and help support our pro-life mission to raise funds for our second mobile unit. You don't want to miss the event, so go buy your tickets at bridgewomencenter.com, and I'll see you on May 13th.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. The Bridge Women's Center gives support to women and families with unintended pregnancies. They also provide support after birth and counseling. Be sure to attend the Women's Gala on May 13th to support the Bridge Women's Center and buy tickets to the benefit. COVID guidelines will be followed. Go to bridgewomencenter.com. That's bridgewomencenter.com.
Want more AM 570 The Mission? Go to AM570TheMission.com to listen live, tune into podcasts, sign up for events, learn about our advertisers, join the fan club, and more. That's AM570TheMission.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
You need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, right on cue today, friends. Right on cue. Just about the time that everybody had said, oh, what's this story of John Kerry in Iran? Right on cue, before the tape was released, he put up on Twitter within the last day,
I can tell you that this story and these allegations are unequivocally false. This never happened. Either when I was Secretary of State or since or surfing or calling people bitter clingers or anything else that I did. I can promise you
that John Kerry's denied it. The problem is, for the former senator and Secretary of State and whatever his title is for the Biden administration, nobody really knows, except he's the guy who gets to take the private airplane everywhere in the era of climate change. The thing that he did not know when he was making this categorical denial is that there's audio tape. And basically, Iranians saying, oh, yeah, John Kerry told us all about that. So he's got some answering to do. And I hope that those that have the opportunity to can and will hold him accountable. There's no reason to be turning our back and slapping Israel in the face. They're our best ally on planet Earth. Okay, let's end on a good note today. The CDC has announced updated COVID-19 mask guidelines. And the crowd went wild. But then they read the actual guidelines. So here's the big announcement. The trumpets playing. Everybody's lining the streets. The ticker tape parade about to be launched. Here's what they had to say. And I quote, Americans who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 may now go outside without wearing a mask for solo activities or small gatherings, the CDC said in updated guidance on Tuesday. I'm sorry, weren't we already doing that? And is that how the CDC guidance is going to end up, come on, eventually having to go? Think about this. We've known that once you're vaccinated, you're pretty much bulletproof against not only the original COVID, but the variants, at least the ones that they've tested it against so far. We know that we're in good shape on all those things. But going a step further, if we are outside, we already knew that that was a much less likelihood that you would get the COVID-19 virus to begin with. So now that people have received the vaccines that are out there, either the Pfizer, Moderna, or even the single shot Johnson & Johnson. Now the CDC is saying what we already knew, that they would be safe to be outside by themselves without a mask. Honestly, friends, it's like when I am driving down the street and I see someone walking down the sidewalk with a mask on, I almost want to pull over, get out of the car, run over and take it off. Like, just here, I grab that. That's mine. Run away with it. But at least the CDC is giving their blessing to it now. Says they can also be mask-free for small outdoor get-togethers. Oh, good. They say that you should still continue to wear them for large outdoor gatherings. And perish the thought that you be indoor anywhere and not have a mask on. Even in your own home, they still want you to have masks on in your own home. But outdoors, now at least, now the parade has launched. Now you may be outside by yourself and not wear a mask. the latest breaking news, modern day updated guidance from the centers, the useless Centers for Disease Control. I'm Kevin McCullough. Hey, join us next time when we break down every item in the news that's breaking news. We tell you what it means and why it matters. And don't forget, for In New York weeknights, I'm over on our sister station, AM 970, The Answer, starting at 7 p.m. tonight, talking travel. Until then, we'll see you next time.